book of Matthew, Matthew, the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'll start reading at verse number 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. And he said unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither doth any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sure is good again today to read the scripture, knowing, Lord, that your word is true. Every single word of it, Lord, is absolute. And we thank you for giving the Bible, the word of God, to us. And so once again this morning, Lord, we certainly need your presence and your help and your power and wisdom. And I certainly ask you, Father, this preacher needs you. And Lord, I ask you to do that which I need this morning so I can be a blessing to this people. Lord, by the preaching of the Bible, the Word of God. So I just trust, Lord, that we'll see Jesus today, and Lord, we'll understand how wonderful and good he is. And thank you for sending him to die for our sins. Now, Lord, bless this service in a real and special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning. In fact, about 7 or 8 years ago, I preached this message. For some reason, the Lord brought it back to my remembrance that I should preach this message this morning. You probably won't remember it. 7 or 8 years ago, you know, you probably more than likely won't. My wife said, honey, 2 weeks ago, she said, what was that message you preached on Sunday night? And she said, I need the title of it. We never did get the title on the tape. I said, I have the slightest idea what I preached 2 weeks ago. And I had to go look it up. I had, I do keep a few records. And I did go look it up and found out what it was. But I thought for a moment, I thought, 2 weeks ago, and I can't even remember what I preached. But of course, I do quite a bit of preaching. And so I get all confused and mixed up sometimes on when I preach them. But anyway, I had preached this about 7 or 8 years ago. And trusting that you'll just take it as a fresh message, because it is. Because the Lord has directed me to preach it. And it's something we need to hear. And I'm titled my message, What Think Ye of Christ? Whose Son is He? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know you know this if you're here this morning and you're sitting in these presence here this morning, I'm sure that you think a lot of him. More than likely, if you didn't, you wouldn't be here, or at least you're coming, you're here to hear and listen about him. But there's none like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. He is good. He's our Savior. He's everything any man ever needs. He is everything. And above all, I want to see him honored and I want to see him glorified. I want to see his name lifted up. And in this place, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I want him to be honored above all. So I'm going to, as I said, preach the message, What Think Ye of Christ? Whose Son is He? The Bible has a lot of questions in it. Sometimes the answers are given directly. Not always. Sometimes the answers are there, but we have to search for them and find them. But there's Bibles in the, or excuse me, there's answers in the Bible that that ought to arrest our attention, things that God asks us that ought to grab a hold of us and make us think. This is one of those questions. There's a question found in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What a question. How can a man escape if you neglect the great salvation? One of the first questions that's found in the Bible was given to us from Satan to man about God. When he says, yea, hath God said, putting doubt upon the Bible, the Word of God. The second question in the Bible, it was from God to man about his sin. When he said, Adam, where art thou? Adam went and hid because of sin. Third question in the Bible is from God to man about his fellow man. Where is Abel, thy brother? So there is a lot of questions in the Bible. But this is a question here in our text that is an awesome question that every man in some way will answer. He may neglect to do anything about it. He may reject it openly, or he may accept it. But what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And what we determine and how we answer that is going to make the difference throughout all the ages of eternity. The Pharisees had asked him a question over in verse 15 of this chapter. And when the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk, and they went out unto him, their disciples, with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither canst thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what think thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? They said, what do you think? He said, well, of course, we know the Pharisees was trying to trip him up in his answer. So what the Lord Jesus does is he just simply turns the tables. And he says to them, he says, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now, what I want to do is I want to do my best to just answer that question this morning. I want to approach this from every angle. I want us to see it how humanity has seen it. I want you to see it as heaven looks at it, as hell looks at it, as mankind looks at it. And we want to answer that question, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? We're going to look at what his family thought. We're going to look at what his friends thought. We're going to look at what his enemies thought about him. First of all, I just want to take time, though, to show you what heaven thought about him. First of all, and I realize, being a father, that sometimes fathers can be biased. Not a father out here that isn't a little bit biased. That's part of being a father. But I might say something to you. With God Almighty, it's different because he is righteous. He is perfect. He cannot be biased. He can only be truthful and righteous. So what does he say about his son? He called out from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. This is God the Father saying this about Jesus Christ. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He's wonderful. And I'm sure proud of him. That's God the Father. That's the creator of all things that was saying that about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find over in Proverbs, it says that he was his father's constant delight. Isn't that marvelous? The Bible tells us that he satisfied all of God's demands. Everything that God demanded, Jesus Christ satisfied it. What does God the Spirit say about it? Well, God the Spirit inspired the Bible to be written. So everything that you read in the Scriptures, in the Bible, the Word of God, is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So every good thing that you find in the Bible written about the Lord Jesus Christ was inspired by God the Spirit. And even God the Son, and the Bible says, when a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he is a fool deceiving himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ, and excuse the saying, but he was no fool. He was God the Son. And he said in John 8:29, I do always the things that please him. Never did he ever do anything whatsoever that did not please God the Father. Not one thing. And then we're going to look for a moment at what the angels thought about him. You got to remember something. They beheld him in his glory from eternity past. They knew him before he ever came to this earth and took upon himself a body. They've known him clear back since the angels was created. So they knew him. And there was an angel came to Mary and said to Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here's an angel that said, you know, I want you to call his name Jesus, Savior, because he'll save his people from his sins, their sins. He's the Savior, in other words. An angel speaking to the shepherds said, unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is an angel that had knew him from all the ever since their beginning. Knew him and said, he's Christ the Lord. We find also many angels in the book of Revelation round about the throne, and here's what they were saying. And in fact, there were multitudes of angels, almost without number the amount of angels. Here's what they said. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Now that's what they said as they surrounded the throne of God. And they said that about Jesus Christ. You see, he's only worthy. He's the Lamb, and he's the only one that's worthy, and he's the only one that can receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and blessing. He's it. And that's what the angels said. How about those that's gone on to heaven? Those that are glorified now. Well, that's a great thought. Amen. You ever get tired? You ever just get tired of walking this life and think how wonderful it'd be just to be in glory? Older I get, the more I yearn for it. I think it's going to be wonderful. But there's some that's already went on. And the Bible tells us over in Revelation, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse, they too are there surrounded by the angels of God. And we find them represented here as the 24 elders. And here's what they say. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now these are those that's already went on before us, folks. And they're crying out in heaven saying, thou art worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive power and honor and glory. Amen. Good testimony. Over in Revelation, the 5th chapter, the Bible says they sung a new song. And it says, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's what they were saying about Jesus Christ. They were saying, you're our Redeemer. You're the one that shed your blood to wash away our sins. You're the reason we're here, in other words, they were saying. Well, that's pretty good. Amen. You see, all of heaven makes it plain what they think about Jesus Christ. We sometimes hesitate. We sometimes would not cry out like they do here in heaven. We sometimes are a little bit mute-mouthed. But I won't tell you, he's wonderful. And Pastor Ross ought not to be able just to say that behind a pulpit. I ought to be able to say that every day of my life and not be ashamed to do so. He's wonderful. That song, it says, 'tis the church triumphant, singing worthy the Lamb. Heaven throughout with praises singing, worthy the Lamb. thrones and powers before him bending, odors sweet with voices ascending, swell the chorus, never ending, worthy the Lamb. What a song. What a truth. Worthy the Lamb. So you'll find in heaven, those who are around the throne in heaven or in the presence of God now, every one of them proclaiming the worthiness and the greatness of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the devil doesn't have a whole lot of good things to say about the Lord Jesus. But I know what he thinks of him. I know because of all the trouble he has went through to try to stop him. He tried to stop him, even in the stoppage. If you go into the Old Testament, he tried to stop him by destroying his lineage so he would never be born. And once he was born, he tried to kill him immediately. And all through his ministry, there was times when he tried to rid this earth of Jesus Christ. And in fact, he done everything he could there in that wilderness to try to get Jesus Christ to sin, so that his work would be nullified. And of course, he didn't get it done. Now you say, Brother Ross, why was he so concerned about it? Because Jesus Christ means his defeat. He is a defeated foe. He cannot win. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has defeated him. Amen. He did it on the cross of Calvary. Amen. For your sin and mine. So there's no doubt what the devil knows about him. He done everything he could to try to stop him, because if he didn't stop him, he was done for. He was defeated. Thank God he didn't. Now let's ask the demons of hell. Let's ask him what they think about Jesus Christ. You know, again, do you know the fallen angels? The fallen angels also viewed him from eternity, or from when they was created. They knew him in eternity. Amen. Now let's see what they say about him. Go with me to the book of Mark, the first chapter of the book of Mark. Verse 21. First chapter of Mark. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in this synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Here's the demons of hell proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. And he says, And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, and so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions round about Galilee. Now look at Mark, the third chapter, verse number 11. And the unclean spirits, when they saw him, look what happened, the unclean spirits here, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. That's what the demons of hell know about Jesus Christ. They know that he's come to destroy them, and one day he will cast them into that pit where they will spend an eternity. But they know he's the Son of God, the Holy One of God. May I make mention that the demons of hell are smarter than some people. The demons of hell, even though they're lost for all eternity, recognize who Jesus is. And in fact, in his presence, fall down before him. And yet we got multitudes and multitudes today that won't even give him a nod. Won't turn their hearts over to him. won't receive him as the Savior that he is. Won't mind him. Amen? So the demons of hell, there's no doubt about, they know who he is. And in fact, the Bible says the devils also believed and trembled. Trembled at the presence of God, of Jesus Christ. Then let's look at what the Pharisees, going back to our text verses in chapter 22. Of course, basically what the Pharisees done is just testified to the goodness and greatness of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were a people, let me say to you, and we sometimes kind of look down on the Pharisees, and we have reasons to do that, but the Pharisees were very religious people. They were very studious people on the Scripture. They just was mistaken on the fact that you didn't get to heaven by your good works. You get to heaven through Jesus Christ. And they did not receive him as the Savior whom he was. But here's what the Pharisees said, and I'm not going to turn there, but in Luke 15:2 it said, "This man receiveth sinners." He did. He receives every sinner that has ever been born. He'll accept every sinner that'll come to him. Amen? So they were mocking him when they said it, but they were speaking a truth. He receiveth sinners. He sure does. In chapter 22, verse number 16, it says, "And they sent out unto him these disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the persons of men. Tell us therefore, what think thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" Now in that statement, me and you know, as we read that statement, we know they was mocking him. But did you realize that what they said was true? The wonderful things they said, "Master, we know that thou art true." Yes, he is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "And teachest the way of God is truth," and the way of God is truth. And he did teach it. Not only taught it, he was the way. And he says, "And teachest the way of God is truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not any the person of man." In other words, that is true. He's not a respecter of persons. Do you realize that? That God looks down upon mankind and he loves that soul that we despise sometimes, that we look down of our nose at? Do you know he loves that drunkard that's walking the street out here? Do you know he loves that harlot that's so caught up in her sin? He's not a respecter of persons, folks. You know what? Our sin may not have been bad outwardly as theirs, but ours is just as wicked. Oh, yes. We want to kind of pour it on sometimes that we're greater people than somebody else, but I want to tell you, your sin and my sin would have sent us to hell if we hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, because it's the sin of disbelief. And the manifestation of that sin of disbelief can be anything. And we're capable of it without Jesus. Amen? So there's no doubt about the Pharisees. What they spoke was true, but they was doing it in a mocking way. They simply were testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus and the rich man gives us a story about a man who's lost and is in hell. And he was so concerned about those that was left behind that he asked Abraham if he could send somebody back and tell his brothers about that place so they wouldn't come there. I want to tell you, whether you believe in hell or not, you will, if you're not saved, you will a second after you get there. I'll guarantee you that. This man didn't believe in it either. He spent all of his life worrying about the good things he could have and how he lived sumptuously. That was his whole life. But he believed in hell when he opened up his eyes in hell. They was told that they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one arose from the dead. Folks, Jesus rose from the dead. You know that. And through his raising from the dead, through him dying and raising from the dead, we have eternal life. You can have eternal life. I mean, it's yours for the asking, for the receiving. I'll guarantee you the angels in the bottomless pit know who he is. He's God the Son of God. What does the prophets say about Jesus Christ? Well, Moses said that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses said, I'd rather have the riches of Jesus Christ than all the treasures of this world. That's more important to me. I know enough to know that I would rather have his treasures than the treasures of this world. What did Isaiah say about him? He said he's wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. This is what Isaiah said. The everlasting Father. He said he's the Prince of Peace. That's what the prophets said about Jesus Christ. And let me say something. He is wonderful. It's all right if you say amen. He is wonderful. He's a wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He's all of those things. Amen. What does a king say about him? Well, King David simply called him Lord. I think King David was a pretty smart man. Solomon said he's fairer than the children of men. This is about Jesus. In fact, all through the book of Proverbs, you find that Solomon is letting us know that Jesus Christ is the perfection of wisdom. And then he said, he's altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. How about those who knew him, though? You see, Brother Ross, let's get down to somebody who walked with him. I mean, they really knew him. Well, let's talk to his mother, Mary. Mary, you brought him into this earth. You was a virgin, and you brought him onto this earth. You borned him. What do you think about him? He's my God and my Savior. That's what Mary said. She didn't say, oh, worship me. No, don't fall down before Mary. No, he said, he's my God and he's my Savior. Without Christ, Mary would have went to hell. Amen. And said, he's my God. John the Baptist, what do you think about him? There he is. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of all the world. John the Baptist, the greatest of prophets, and God, and he said, there he is, he's God's Lamb. And he takes away the sin of all the world. Amen. Peter, you're always moving fast without thinking. You're always doing something, Peter, but what do you think about Jesus Christ? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. Peter said, he's the Christ, he's the anointed one that God sent. And he is the Son of the living God, the unique Son, the only Son of God. Don't you believe the Mormons when they tell you you'll become like Jesus? No one can become like Jesus. He's the unique Son of God. We can become sons of God. Thank God we do that when we get saved. But there's no one like Jesus. He's God. He's God the Son. He's the Son of God. John, what do you think about him? He said, well, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. John said, there's no other way you're going to get your sins washed away except through his blood. Thomas, you remember that time you messed up? You didn't come to Sunday school when Jesus was here? That's why you got to be at Sunday school, church, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I just thought I'd throw that in there. You remember, Thomas, what happened when you didn't see him, but in a week later you was there? Thomas, what do you think about him? My Lord and my God. That's what he said. He said, he's my Lord and he's my God. James, what do you think about him? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. That's what James said he was. That's who Jesus is. Paul, is he worth serving? Paul, is it worth going through all you went through to serve Jesus Christ? Paul said, I counted all things but dung that I might win Christ. Everything I went through is nothing but waste. It was all worth it that I would win Christ. That's what Paul said. What do his enemies say? Say, now we'll get down to it. What does enemies say about Jesus Christ? Well, Judas said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. That's what Judas said. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Mrs. Pilate said, have thou nothing to do with this just man. Enemies, they recognized him for who he was, though. Herod, what'd you say about him? He has done nothing worthy of death. That's what Herod said. The dying thief, what did you say? This man hath done nothing amiss. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God. What think thou of Christ? Who is he to you? Is he just some history lesson? Somebody that you heard about in history? Is that all he means? Is he somebody we talk about at church when we come? And is that all he means to us? Or he is everything that the Bible said he was? He is. He's the most wonderful, wonderful, precious Savior. He's the only Savior that there is. Now, I've showed you what heaven thinks about it, and I've showed you what hell thinks about it, and I've showed you what the prophets said, and the kings said, those who walked with him, and his enemies said. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. What do you think about him? In your heart right now, what do you think about Jesus Christ? How important is he to you? And who is he to you? Is he just a man? Is he just a great teacher? You recognize him as a man come from God, but you don't recognize him as God the Son? You see, he is God the Son, perfect God the Son, that came and for our sins died on the cross for you and I. He did that because this wonderful God the Son loved you and I. That's why he came. And that's who he is. And he must become that to you if you intend to go to heaven. You must believe in his name. You must believe in him. You must believe that he is, or you'll die in your sins. That's what Jesus himself said. So I'm saying to you and I, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Today, if you would be able to stand, answer it in your own heart. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he? Is he what the Bible says he is, the Son of God, the Savior, who died on the cross for our sins? Pilate asked a question. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? The question, what should you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Not only called, he is. You need to receive him, believe upon him, and trust him as your personal Savior. If you're unsaved this morning, the greatest thing you could do this morning is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, Brother Ross, how do I do that? We always have an invitation here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's other ways people can get saved, but this is a wonderful way to get saved. At an invitation, we invite people to come. God has dealt with you through the Word of God. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know you're unsaved. You know you've never received him as your own personal Savior. And what we do is extend an invitation to you to come and just walk down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, calling upon him, asking him to save you, and he'll do it. That's exactly, folks, the reason he came was to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And he loves you oh so much. And he wants you saved this morning. Just want you to ask yourself a question and then we're going to pray. Ask yourself, each one of you, ask yourself this question. If I died right now, I mean right now, if I died, would I go to heaven? You say, Brother Ross, yes, I know I would because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Some others may be saying, you know, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Some others may be saying, I know I wouldn't go to heaven. Whatever it is that you're saying, let me tell you, you can change all of that if you're not ready to meet him. You can change it this morning. You can put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior, and he'll wash away all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll make you a child of God and make you ready for heaven. That's who Jesus Christ is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thanking you for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are and how great you are, how wonderful you are. And Lord, once again, we sure need you today. And Father, we would pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God would be upon any that's here this morning without Christ. Oh God, that they would come, walk this aisle, and accept Christ as their personal Savior. We pray also, Lord, for the convicting power to be upon our hearts that do know him, that, Lord, we should be better for him. He's worthy. And, Lord, that we should do everything we can to serve him and to love him as we should. Now, Father, you have your will and way in these services, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.